Who will give you the true riches if you are not faithful with money? What are the true riches? The true riches are, number one, partaking of God's nature. There's nothing greater than that. See, there are many reasons why we can avoid sin. We can avoid sin because I don't want to go to hell. It's the lowest reason. Or I can avoid sin because it'll spoil my testimony before others if I lose my temper. It's also a good reason, but that is not the best. Or better than that, I want to avoid sin because I want God to use me. Or there could be other reasons like that. I want to avoid sin because it's good to be a holy man. My testimony before people will be good. That's also not the highest. The highest is, why did Jesus avoid sin? Not because I want my Father to use me. No. It is displeasing to God. God hates it. That's why I want to avoid it. You can avoid sin because it's harmful for me. Sin is like poison. I want to avoid it. It's harmful for me. I don't drink whiskey because it's harmful for me. I don't sin because it's harmful for me. That's not the reason. It displeases God. But the highest reason is that it's not my nature. You know the difference between a worm and a snake? You stamp on a snake, you know what it'll do? Sting you immediately. You stamp on a worm, it'll just curl up. Why? It's not because it's trying to be spiritual and say, I must not sting. I must just humble myself. No. It is nature. It's automatic. And that is the highest level. But it has become my nature. I just don't sting. If somebody stamps on me, it's curl up. Now, it doesn't begin like that. Because in the beginning, we are used to stinging back. And we gradually progress in different stages. Ultimate is we partake of God's nature. There is nothing higher than that. God does not sin because that's his nature. It's not because he's afraid of going to hell or because of some punishment or some sickness. Nothing. It is his nature. Holiness is his nature. And that is the ultimate goal we want to come to, where holiness becomes my nature. It's not because I want a testimony in the church or I want God to use me or anything. All that is stages. But we come to say, Lord, I want to partake of your nature. It says in 2 Peter and chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, that the divine power of God, verse 3, has granted us, verse 4, precious and magnificent promises. The whole Bible full of God's wonderful promises. And that's not just victory over sin, but that you might become partakers of the divine nature. And that will help you escape the corruption in the world by lust. This is more than victory over sin. This is where nature, you know, which just rejects sin, just flicks it off. That should be our goal. Lord, I want to come to that place where, just look close, there's an expression in English called water off a duck's back. I don't know how, whether it's really true that if you pour water, the water will not stick on a duck or the wings will not get wet. I don't know, I never tried it. But there's an expression, water off a duck's back, means you pour the water and it doesn't stick. Water on up, if you pour water on me, it'll be there on my skin, but not on a duck. Nature. I say, well, wonderful thing, if I can have my reaction to sin is like that, temptation comes and it just falls off. That is God's goal. So, in the same way, I can come to the place where, little by little by little, I come to the place where money doesn't have any hold on me. that I'm not thinking about it. If I lost something, I'm not going to be worried about it. And if I gain something, I'm not going to be excited about it. In the beginning, you know, particularly if you're in need and you get some money or a promotion and everything, you're excited. It's all right, good. I had a need and God met with me. But you gradually come to the place where you say, Jesus was never excited when he got money. That's why he let Judas Iscariot handle it. And if Judas Iscariot stole it, he was not disappointed. He had come so much above that, that he knew that my Father will provide my need however much Judas steals or whatever happens. He was free from it completely. And when we say we want to be like Jesus, it is in this area to be completely free, partaking of God's nature. God has zero love for money. And I say, Lord, I want to be like that. I'm supposed to partake of your nature, my nature, which is just like Adam's nature did such a perfect job in us, right? What a perfect job Adam's nature has done in us. Makes us get angry, makes us selfish, makes us murmur, complain, love money. It's a perfect job. In every area. In the same way, the Holy Spirit can do a perfect job of giving me God's nature. If Adam's nature can come so perfectly in me from childhood, that it is no effort to tell lies, it's no effort to be selfish, it's no effort to think only of myself, it's not at all, it's not a great strain to think of myself, it's natural. It's natural to gossip, and natural to criticize, and natural to find fault, natural to defend myself. Adam has done such a fantastic job in perfectly giving me his nature. Can't the Holy Spirit do a perfect job in giving me Christ's nature? As when I had Adam's nature, I was not struggling to tell a lie or struggling to be selfish. You know, I'm so battling unselfishness. No, selfishness comes naturally. Pride, anger, everything comes naturally. That is the work that God can do in us through the Holy Spirit, where it comes naturally over a period of time. But it is a stage. You'll get there only if you're faithful in the lower stages. So that is God's desire, and that nature God gives us is love. But in leadership, I want to tell you something about this love, which is God's nature. It says in Philippians in chapter 1. Philippians 1, Paul prays for the Philippians and says, I pray that your love will increase. A good prayer to pray, that our love will increase. But it must abound more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Discernment is more than knowledge. Discernment is where you love people. There's no hatred in your heart against anybody. You love people, that's why you help them. You love people, that's why you correct them, just like you love your children. You discipline them because you love them. The Bible says if you don't discipline your children, you don't really love them. And if I'm a good elder, I will have to discipline people in the church. It's a part of my love to protect them, preserve them. So, but that love must abound in discernment. And that means as we grow, as we walk with the Lord, God, it's one of the very important requirements for elders. That God should be able to make me discerning, that people can't fool me with their language. Somebody comes and talks spiritual language and I'm not fooled. You can come to the place where some new person comes to your church and 5 minutes of conversation with him, you know where he stands. You don't know anything about his private life. But you talk to him for 5 minutes, and you know where he stands. Discernment.